Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Lord's church was established on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. It is composed of people, the people who are saved. Therefore, the work of the church is the work of these people who are called to do the work of God as the body of Jesus Christ. To the extent each member does his duty, and to that extent will the work of the church be done. To the extent that one does not do his or her duty, to that same extent the work of the church will not be done. We should probably speak less of the work of the church and what it does, but more what we do. Christ did give his church work to do. Now, what was that work? How is the church to get the work done? Is the church sufficient to accomplish that work? And what if the church fails in doing that work? We are correct to consider the church as a body that works. The Lord taught several parables about the kingdom of heaven in which he likened the kingdom to a vineyard of workers doing the will of the owner. The master of the vineyard gave the laborers work to do. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Luke 12:42. We who are Christians are workers in the vineyard of the Lord. Now, while some say that we are not saved by works, there are some works that we must do. There are works of obedience, which makes faith perfect. James 2:22. We are created to, in Christ, to do good works. We're not saved by works of which we can boast, but there are things that the Lord expects us to do. Ephesians 2:10. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. There is that which we are supposed to do. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Paul said we are to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We are to do works meet for repentance. Acts 26:20. Well, what is the work of the church? What is it supposed to do? Paul told Titus, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready unto every good work. Titus 3:1. He wrote the Thessalonian brethren, and he said, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. By what standard are we to determine what is good? While admonitions may seem to be very inclusive, almost without limit, there is a limitation on what the church can and ought and must do. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this demands that there be the Lord's authority for what is done. In other words, the church is to do whatever good work the Lord has authorized the church to do. This limits the boundaries of activity. It is not the work of the church to provide entertainment for people, or provide recreation, or secular education, to just have social programs or operate businesses. It is not the work of the church to try to displace the civil government or the home or any such thing. The church is not to be a political party. The reason this is so is because there's no authority for it. Certainly the church should not support and promote anything or anybody that's inconsistent with the divinely revealed truth. Many intrusions into the affairs of the church have been made by zealous people who would have the church be engaged in activities for which there is no direction from God. The doctrine that the church can do whatever the individual Christian can do is to confuse any number of activities an individual may do as a citizen, as a parent, or as a businessman in his work and recreation that does not fall under the work of the church. To be sure, there are duties that overlap. It is also true that the individual is a member of the church wherever he is and whatever he does. is also true that many things are authorized and commanded of individuals that are not commanded of the body functioning together. As a parent, one may discipline his child, supply games, enjoy entertainment, earn money. But the church has no business in such things. The individual may operate a gas station, a grocery store, or an insurance office. But this is not the work of the church. Whatever the individual does, he does as a Christian. But his work is not always peculiar to the work of the church. In a broad view of the work of the church, we can say that the church is to glorify God. In Ephesians 3 and verse 21, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." The work that Christ did while he was here upon the earth was to glorify the Father. "I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do." John chapter 17 and verse 4. So it is with the church at work, being the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, this brings glory to God. The primary work of the church, friend, is to spread the gospel. The Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," was a charge given to the apostles, and through them all who would believe by their word. The early church knew this mission, and even under persecution they went everywhere preaching the word, Acts 8 and verse 4. Paul taught Timothy that he might in turn teach others who would go out and teach even more, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Preach the word is the outstanding and ever-present duty of the church. "How shall they preach except they be sent?" was Paul's question. The church must send laborers into the world to gather a harvest for the Lord. Christianity is a taught religion. Christians are to see to it that teaching and preaching is done. This is the number one and dominant work we are charged with doing. We are the support, the promoter, the propagator of the gospel. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations" is the watchword in the work of the church. There are many number of methods that we might utilize in spreading the word. We have the public proclamation of the truth. Preaching is authorized of God to bear the burden of making known the word of truth. We can use the printed page, teaching from house to house, whatever media is available to us that's honorable and consistent with the truth itself, to make the message known and to fill the world with the gospel is that which we ought to be doing. Many use various visual aids. There is a danger, however, that the visual aid not teach, but becomes a means of entertainment. Classes, home Bible courses, private conversations, they are all useful in carrying out the work of the church. We must not erect organizations, however, that displace the church in doing this work. God's governmental arrangement for the church must be respected. The church is fully adequate in its structure to take the gospel to all the world. Well, what is the church to teach? Preach the word. Preach the gospel. The word of God is the subject matter. Preach Christ and his kingdom as the apostles and early evangelists did. We can either go beyond what was preached, nor add to what was preached. We can neither add to nor take from, for if we do, God's anathema will be upon us by preaching a perverted gospel. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Once I went to conduct a gospel meeting and was asked if I was going to bring anything new to the people. My answer was that I sure did hope not. Whatever men preach ought to be that which has been preached for nearly 2,000 years already. Politics, review of novels, the so-called social gospel and such like, they have no place in the pulpit and the teaching work of the Lord's church. What God says, what to obey, how to live before God, the majesty of Christ, his death and his resurrection, they are the doctrine to be taught. Men of every nation are to hear the word of truth. The lost must be led to be saved. The saved must be led to grow. And even though the home has the duty to bring up children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, the church also has a duty to let all men everywhere have the opportunity to know the Word. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and it is the work of the church to see to it that the gospel goes to the ears of all. And there's another area of work the church is authorized to do, and that is to do good toward those who suffer misfortune in this life. This phase of work is sometimes called benevolent work, deeds of relief for the suffering, helping those in need, acts of kindness and works of charity. While social betterment is not the primary work of the church, it is a part of that work. The conversion and preservation of souls is the prime work, but doing good toward the unfortunate is a fruit of Christianity. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. To the churches of Galatia, Paul wrote, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Galatians 6 and verse 10. James 1:27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Here, dear friend, we have a definition of pure religion. Would any be so brazen to suggest that the church cannot practice pure religion? We would insist that this is what the church must practice. The churches of the New Testament were busy in relieving the needs that arose from time to time, in times of crisis and times of famine. The first responsibility for giving relief, of course, rests with the family. But there are circumstances and situations where the family either cannot or has become so estranged from each other that they will not help those who need. To those the church has a duty and must supply that which is lacking to sustain. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16. Can we indeed profess love and do otherwise? But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? 1 John 3 and verse 17. Now some have contended that the church can only help its own members. Well, if this be true, many orphans are immediately eliminated because they're not even old enough yet to be Christians. But we're taught that pure religion includes helping orphans. We're taught to especially help our brethren, but also others as well. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Nobody should suggest that the church is to undertake the relief of all the physical distress that the world might suffer. This is beyond the capacity and opportunity for the church anyway. But as we have opportunity, we're not to turn away the needy who are deserving of help. Paul took thought for things honorable in the sight of God and men, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21. Is it not honorable to help those in need, whoever they are? Did not Jesus help those who were God's children as well as those who were not his children when he assisted both Jew and Gentile alike? And are we not to walk in his steps? When one is hungry, food should be supplied. When one is thirsty, he should be given drink. The naked should be clothed, the distressed relieved, the homeless provided a home. Now the church cannot be the home, but it can provide a home. And God has not legislated the way to provide that home. This calls for the exercise of human judgment, and to discover, many times through trial and error, what is the best way to provide homes for the homeless. The church cannot be the relief, but can provide the relief. Great benefit to the church is seen in its benevolent program. What better way to display to those whose hearts are hardened against the truth that the truth makes a difference in the way one lives? Mighty works were done in New Testament times that opened doors of opportunity to preach the gospel. Benevolent work is a means that can be used to propagate the gospel. One must secure the receptive heart before the seed can be sown. Relief of the needy goes a long way in accomplishing this. And the church is fully capable and sufficiently organized to do the work that God has authorized the church to do. Within the governmental arrangement of Christ as the head, with local congregations, each one autonomous and independent under its own elders, whatever needs to be done can be done. The Bible authorizes no superstructure to do the work of the church. There is no allowance for institutions of men that would displace the work of the church. Again, we repeat that individual work and corporate work often overlap, but neither makes the other unimportant. The church is its own missionary society, if you please, without any other structures. Now, the church cannot be the home. It must provide a home for the homeless to do this work. Churches can cooperate without violating the self-government of one another. If one church sends funds to another church, the funds leave the oversight of one and becomes the oversight of the money of the other. There is no violation of autonomy in that. The greatest danger in cooperating is that bigger churches might dominate and attempt to dictate to other churches. And this is proven to be a sore spot in the work of the church, but it need not be. If the church fails to do the work God has authorized it to do, it will result in the loss of souls, even the souls of the church. We are to be faithful stewards, servants of the Lord, doing His work in our lives, and we shall be judged according to what we do in this life, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. When one realizes the emphasis God has placed on saving souls and keeping the saved saved, bringing relief to the needy that are under the charge of the church, one realizes the tragedy of failure in accomplishing these things. One of the works of the church, as well as preaching the gospel to the lost and rendering benevolent work to those in need, is to strengthen, to edify the Lord's church, to build up the church spiritually. And how is this done? Why, friend, it's done by feeding upon the sincere milk of the Word. The church is to teach the lost, but the church is to keep on teaching the saved. That's a part of the church. But we dare not attempt what God has not authorized. We dare not neglect that which He has authorized to be done. And while every detail of operation is not specified in doing the work of the church, the area of work is outlined for us, and we must exercise the good sense and the judgment we have to do what God directs. Whatever God has specified must be done the way He specifies. And when God has commanded something to be done and has not detailed how it is to be accomplished, it still must be done. And we must use our wisdom and find ways consistent with all other truth to get it done. There is no work more important than the work of the Church of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel to the lost, rendering benevolent aid to those who are less fortunate, building up, edifying, teaching, strengthening the saved. No work surpasses the work of the church in greatness and importance. So, brethren, let us be up and about doing the Lord's business. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.